Welcome back to another week of the AMB Podcast. It's your boy Young Tamarack, and I'm about to reflex like a natural reaction. I'm here with some good people because my people is never not good. Let them know what it is, Stare.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Stare, aka the finesse fella, aka Papa Stare, aka that nigga right behind you to the left. Yeah, that guy right by the stairs. Yeah, that's him. That was good, my peoples. I'm glad to be back. Glad to be here, man. Definitely glad to be podding.
Yes, sir. And like I said, we're here with some good people because my people are never not good. And this week, we got one of the hosts from the Stuck in the Middle podcast, Reflex, here with us this week. Yes, let him know what it
what
is.
What up, bro. Flex?
It's good, man. It was good. Appreciate y'all having me, man. This is dope. Appreciate it. Always good to, you know, link up with other podcasters.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. It's like a whole separate world, pretty much, at this point of, like, people that exist within the podcast realm. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. I do think it's important that we get to together and, like, we just
network.
We just vibe. And, mm-hmm. we put out dope content, man. So we're definitely glad to have you here today because we know that you got some dope things. Well, yeah. Some things that you've done already that you're going to come on and talk about and share with us. But if you're not familiar with the podcast, how we always get started is I just like to check in with everybody and see how everybody's week has been. So since you're our guest, what's up with you, man? How you been?
I've always been busy, just getting around. Things are finally starting to open back up, even though the numbers, COVID numbers, are going back up. But it's just crazy. But week's been busy. Trying to make this money, man. Today's been yesterday was kind of weird, just raining all day. So just kicked it. But today,
I like the rain vibe that we had though this week though a little bit. Not driving.
Just getting back around, trying to make money. Week's been good though. My brother's in town. Mm-hmm. I love him, but he's leaving soon, so I'm kind of salty about it. I'm also moving soon. So
okay. Yeah, it really has been busy.
Yeah, it's been busy. So I'm like.
Were you leaving Maryland or are you just?
I'm just going to a different. I'm going up by BWI Airport. From Laurel.
So
about 20 minutes away. So.
Yeah. Respect. Yeah. That's what's up. For anyone who can't see right now, because we're not a visual podcast 24/7 yet. Reflex is in here. He got on two rings to let you know that he got some Mac game. So
one is on the pinky.
He's out here doing it the right way.
Gotta let y'all know.
And Alistair, what about you, man? How you been, Brody?
My week's been a week. I'm not gonna lie, because this was my official last week of Kids After Hours, so that was kind of like, damn. The kids definitely blessed me with like a party. I got some going away gift cards. That was cool. Pretty much. I think they're like the second largest childcare provider in the state, but hooked up with that. I linked up with the district manager for LIDS. We were chopping it up to find out my future in that and how he plans on, you know, producing me to be a better employee for them. And I'm excited for my new opportunity. Just linked up with Roe. We're trying to get some hats in Wheaton Plaza. So that's a plug for OE. Go get your hat. It's coming soon.
Nice.
Just been busy working on the home, working on Nami. She's getting real big. It's kind of scary because
watching kids grow up is the weirdest shit. I don't got no kids for anyone on the podcast listening, so don't get it twisted. But like, I got a niece and nephew, and like watching them like become like people is like that shit is weird, bro. And they be having reactions to shit like.
She started to shake her head, be like,
"Nah, I don't want that." Earlier today, and my niece was like, "Oh," and I was like, "Yo, who taught you that? Like, where did that come from?" But
they pick up on a lot of things real quick. Yeah, how about you, co-host?
Actually, before we get into me, I was just gonna say, I mean, I feel like you got some pretty decent feedback.
Definitely got to give a. I got a lot of feedback from a lot of people. Like, yo, that was real brave. That was real dope on the last episode. If y'all haven't heard it, go check it out. These are my confessions. I really dove in and opened up about like the kind of depression that I went through during quarantine. Mm-hmm. But I got reached out by like family, Sam, Dean, and even like some like strangers. I was just like, yo, like keep doing this shit because y'all really got a good product. And that was really brave of you to do that on this episode. So it was cool. It was real cool.
Yeah. And I was about to say, if you weren't going to shout those people out who gave you.
I had to.
Wow. But as for me, man, I feel like I get on here and I talk about my weeks and they're usually always the same. But I actually have not been going to the gym, man, like I normally do. Because, you know, like I fucked up my knee giving niggas buckets not too long ago. You know what I'm saying? They had to hack me, you know what I'm saying? Because I was giving them the Euro step. I was moving through London, you know what I'm saying? From London to France to Germany, you know what I'm saying? That's how I was getting it. But Yeah, man, that's been something that I always like to do, and it's a good like stress reliever, I think, in general. So not having that, I've been definitely relying on some other vices so that, you know what I'm saying, I get through my week. But for the most part, man, it's been a pretty solid week. Been making a lot of progress on the project management front. I think I'm getting into a little bit of a groove in terms of, you know, managing some of these different projects with different clients. There's still a lot that I got to learn in terms of, you know, putting together, I guess, relying on some of my like tools that I have as a project manager. But yeah, just growing in that field, man. And then just
it's coming up on a year, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, roughly yeah, like a year. But yeah, man, it's definitely been like a super blessing, because I feel like a lot of things that I'm learning as a project manager, I can like take and I can apply to like some of my things that I do outside, in terms of like video production. And so like to get into that, I've been spending time working on Autumn's video that we just finished shooting. It's going to be really dope. I don't want to give away too much of the video, but like we're essentially creating like 5 replicas of her on like the screen, and like it's gonna be super dope. She's like a 5-part band, it's one person, so it's gonna be really dope.
My God, guys, you're cooking this shit up now. I like that.
Yeah, just dropped the video for Quest Elevated Faith. That just came out. So yeah, I'm really just, like I said, I'm just trying to get into it. And I've been talking about it for a really long time. But I'm officially going to do an R&B single for my R&B album that people have been waiting for since 2001. It's coming, bro.
It's coming.
Man. It's coming.
Not I'm holding my breath.
I'm going to do a single and I'm going to do a video, and I'm getting out the music game, bro, after that.
One and done.
Unless it pop like beyond belief, then I'm going to be like, shit, I got no music going. But like, one and done, bro. One and done. Okay. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to, man. My week has just been trying to do my job during the day, and then take the extra hours that I have after that to really like get into, you know, the things that I care about or things that I'm passionate about. And like I always say, sometimes it's gonna feel like work, bro. Like, I mean, even though you're enjoying yourself a little bit, that should be work. Cause imagine if you're staying up till like 2 a.m. you editing a video, like, bro, you're gonna be tired. So
yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at with it right now. But all in all, I'm in good spirits, man. I'm excited for what the rest of this year has to hold, even though
it's not much left, but
even though it's been real shaky from the jump, but
yeah. And like we said in the beginning when he was talking, like them COVID numbers have definitely come back with like a vengeance. With a vengeance,
like, yeah, bro. I just don't understand it, bro. It's like how, like who's still harboring COVID? Like at this point, you would think like, all right, like we was inside, like who has it still? So. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Unless you take away people's freedoms, I don't see how you get rid of COVID without a vaccine.
All I know is,
unfortunately,
at Kids After Hours, just this week, we had one counselor who came in contact with it, so she had to get sent home. Then we had one family, that's 3 kids in all 3 of the classrooms at my school. They had to get sent home because their pops came in contact with it, and they have to get tested. So it's like, people are just, it's popping up very quickly. So
yeah,
we'll see.
It's what it is.
Just trying to stay blessed, trying to stay prayed up and hand sanitized up. That's all.
Running out of sanitizer, man. My hands are getting dry. But to move forward from there, man, Alistair, can you hold us down with the spooky themed top 5 for this week?
Top 5.
Because it is about to be Halloween. Oh, boom, rhymed. We're gonna do top 5 costumes that we've had in our life. I'll start because my list is kind of generic and basic. Number 1, I'd say Ben Wallace. It was a lazy costume. I just had an afro, and then I wore a white and blue tracksuit that I got from Marshalls. That was kind of cool. Wasn't even Pistons theme. I was just Ben Wallace.
Yeah, this was very lazy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. See, but I got the candy. So
was this in college?
Nah. This was in, I want to say middle school. So I was like transitioning out of the trick-or-treating phase, but I was like, I'm trying to get me some candy.
Okay.
I'd say Nerd, because I feel like that was probably one of my most easiest. One of the easiest. Got tape on the glasses, personality glasses, button up, boom. I'd say Football Player, because back in elementary school at Cloverleaf, they had like a parade, and you could walk in your actual like uniform with the pads and helmet up, be like, yeah, flex on everybody that you might play. That exactly.
Yeah, I feel it.
Spider-Man, unfortunately I lost my mask. And my last one, I had to say Zorro, because I had the whole get up.
Damn, you got to be Zorro for Halloween?
I got to be Zorro for Halloween, yeah. Sheesh. Mom's looked out.
That's what's up. I feel like I have not had that many variety of costumes because for one, my African mother thinks a lot of a lot of shit was witchcraft. So like you can't really, like, I wanted to be a vampire for one Halloween. Nope, couldn't do it. Wanted to be a wizard for Halloween once. Nope, couldn't do it. The most that I could do, and I'm telling you, like, on a consistent basis, so I don't have that many costumes on my list, is ninja.
Okay.
Because it's very basic. You can go to Party City, get the ninja costume, you put it on, you cover
your face. Celebrating heritage, okay.
Right, so ninja. I got to be the, I don't know if you ever read the book, The Mouse and the Cookie.
Yeah.
So I got to be the mouse and the cookie 1 year. So that was dope. I like that overall, costume.
Okay.
Other than that, bro, like, that's pretty much been my, like, my costume. I was a ninja a lot, bro. Like, you got to understand. Like, I was a ninja a lot of years. So I never got to be, like, a Spider-Man or, like, any of that. But, I mean, like, as long as I had a costume, I was always cool. So maybe looking back at it, my mom was just being, like, cheap about buying costumes. So I don't know. But, yeah, that's, unfortunately, that is my list. I do not have a lot of costumes.
Better than me. You've never dressed up?
You never dressed up for Halloween?
Nope.
Dang. Not even like the do it yourself. Like,
I find out it's Halloween the day of when I see kids out. People start putting up stuff, you know, like, okay, Halloween's coming. Like,
right.
Only holiday I pretty much celebrate is probably like Christmas.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say I celebrated it. I mean, yeah, if you put on a costume, go get candy, you celebrate.
That's Halloween. Not celebrating. Yeah. Just get candy.
Nah,
I've never really been into, like, you know, the whole dressing up, like, just never been into
it. It's actually funner as an adult, I feel like.
I've grown to learn that.
To go to the party.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff, you get to see all the little thotties in their costumes, you say, as skimpy as possible. Yeah. You know,
you think that was
I've been to a party, Halloween parties, just regular.
That's regular. But that's what I'm saying. It's fine. You can come either way, you know what I'm saying? And you can still do your thing, but I think it's just, like I said, it's a pretty solid excuse for girls to wear, you know what I mean? Some pretty revealing outfits, you know, that you couldn't wear on a regular Tuesday afternoon walking in D.C.
I think I saw an angel today.
So you saw an angel today?
She was dressed in angels.
Was it like the Victoria's Secret angel or just like the angel joint, just regular?
The Victoria's Secret joint.
Yeah, that's some time.
It's cold outside.
Bro, last Halloween it was cold. When I was out in D.C., I went as a soccer player, actually. It was a very lazy outfit. Lazy outfit, because I wasn't...
That was be the best. That's what the nerd joint was.
So I put on one of the Germany scarves and had one of Joe's German soccer jerseys. So people were like, yeah, what are you? I was like, yeah, I'm a soccer player. You know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, I mean, it was freezing. And girls was out there, like, in, like, nothing, bro. And I'm like, I guess hoes really don't get cold. Like, I guess it really is a true thing. But enough about Halloween costumes and hoes not getting cold. The reason why we're here is because we got the good homie Reflex here. And he's here to tell us about all the amazing things that he's doing. Not just the Stuck in the Middle podcast, but this man is also an author. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it again for you. He's also... Man. An author.
Yeah,
that
man.
Means writing.
Yeah, man.
And he's here to talk about, well, not just talk about the book, but I mean, you're here to talk about your book, No Such Thing as Halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first to come on record to say I have not read the book personally.
That's cool.
We
can change that.
But yeah, no, for sure. And
that's what you're here for.
Right. I definitely plan to read the book. Yeah. But I mean, the things that I'm really interested in is a little bit about how you got to the point of deciding, hey, I think I can take a stab at writing a book, and then taking the time to actually writing it and then the process behind that. So I guess let's start from the very beginning.
Yeah.
What led you to getting to the point of creating this story?
Yeah, man, I felt like it was a necessary story. You know what I'm saying? Like, very relevant, very contemporary, very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
I started writing October 2018, launched this year, 2020 May. But, you know, I'm a writer at heart. I've always been writing. My story goes all the way back to, like, you know, I grew up in Cameroon, like back home, you know what I'm saying? Like in the early 90s growing up, like, and it's something that's really missing in this culture. You actually had to woo a girl, you know what I'm saying? Like talk to her, not just get in proximity. And then 2 weeks later, weird thing, you know, so we go together. You had to talk to a girl.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was a thing where if you walk in, you know, it's like outside and you know, say bushes were kind of tall and you see a little part of the bush that's kind of like, you know, looked like somebody like, you know, cleared it. Somebody was talking to a girl there, because when you're talking to her, she kind of like picks it, you know what I'm saying? Because she's blushing and all that kind of stuff. So it's a thing. But I just always had a way with words, and like, you know, I've started writing poetry. I would write poetry for my homies and would memorize it.
And then give it to the girl.
That homie? Oh, man.
Everybody needs one. Everybody needs one.
I hope you was charging $5 at home or something, bro.
John, you know what I'm saying? In retrospect, I should have been charging.
These words ain't free.
Yeah, man. But, you know, it's, yeah, I was just being that person, like, writing. And I moved here in 2007. We got on the cheese bus in like ninth grade. I moved here in ninth grade. We got on the cheese bus and like a couple of my friends, they were my friends. You know, so I didn't have no friends, but they were going, it was just a bunch of them, like going to somebody's house. I was like, yo, where y'all going? I want to hang out, I want to make friends. They were like, we better go rap. And I always carry a bunch of poetry with me. You know, it's like I'm always writing. So they pulled up a Wale beat. I forget what beat it is. And we, like, they rapped on it. I just like said some poetry on it. We took it to school the next day. It just, people were just loving it.
Loving it, damn.
Loving it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and my head just got big.
I'm going to let you know something right now. As somebody coming from Africa and then being able to like ingratiate yourself with people like quickly like that, kudos to you, bro. Because not everybody, there's a whole African booty scratcher.
Trust me.
You got to go through for people like, oh, you kind of cool, even though you're African. Like,
yo, trust me. Even like, I had a strong accent on the track. You know what I'm saying? Like, so when my part got on, and I was masked.
Yeah.
My part got on, people knew it was me. And like, what are you saying? Kind of thing. But I was, you know, my people loved it still.
Yeah.
My head got big, and I just started writing from there. You know, so I transitioned from poetry to rap, and then moved to college. I still did a rap thing. That's when I started making money doing it. Made more money ghostwriting, writing for other people than I actually did making my own music.
Undervalued skill as well.
Definitely. And, you know, it's still playing out to this day. And then wound up building a studio. Shout out to Eastern Shore, Maryland. Built a studio in my dorm. People would come through, record. And, you know, so music is cool and all, but, like, you know, I love writing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so the story really, it's a story about, when it comes to the book, it's a story about a long distance couple from Africa. The gentleman, he's Kenyan, he lives in Baltimore. And the lady, she's Nigerian, she lives in Houston. And, you know what I'm saying, they fall in love, kind of like we do, you know what I'm saying? It's you're going to meet a shorty on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, you slide
in the DM.
Everybody, not everybody, most people fall in love through social media these days. And they just can't, you know what I'm saying, they just can't pursue their love, man, like, for 5 years, because their parents, like, nah, you got to marry or date somebody from Kenya. You got married to somebody from Nigeria. And it's something that I've gone through. A lot of people I know are going through it, will go through it as far as tribalism is concerned. So I just felt like, you know what I'm saying, like people around me, like even in the my zip code, you know, up the street, I got homies going through it. Homies married and their parents never see their kids because they don't like his wife or they don't like her husband. Because they're like, you went against us marrying somebody we didn't approve. So it's a real thing when it comes to tribalism. And also, you know what I'm saying, the long distance aspect of relationships. So I feel like writing a book about it, it's been well received. It was number one on Amazon and African Plays and Drama for like 3 weeks. And man, it's,
That's a flex. Get it out there.
Definitely. So yeah, it's just been a blessing, man. Since May we launched, and it's like a second wave now because I got a little pressure on me because people want the audiobook. So I just finished recording the audiobook, and it's a whole different beast of a process, so.
Yeah, I can imagine. So are you doing the recording yourself?
I did it myself. Like I said, you know, I got a studio, so I did it myself. But it's something I don't know anything about, so learning all about that. But shout out to Daphne, you know, and shout out to, you know, I got like a two-person team. They're helping me definitely put the things together. So, man, it's been a
teamwork again.
Yeah, Daphne is the person that set this whole podcast episode up.
Yeah, she's awesome, man.
Manager?
Yeah.
Yeah, she reached out to me. And I was like, whenever I get somebody's, like, team reaching out to me, I always be gasped. Oh, kind of sophisticated now.
Like, email. I was just like, nigga, we get mail? Like,
yeah. But that's definitely cool. Speaking in terms of the book, do you have any experience in long distance relationships?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got way too many. Pretty much all my relationships were long distance. All the way back in Cameroon, I was 12. Man, I don't know what I was doing dating at 12, bro. But she,
I don't got an answer either, bro.
But she moved here to the States. And I thought, that was like first girl, you know what I'm saying? I thought I was in love, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was like, this, you know, I'm gonna go there someday. And we're going to be good. We're going to be cool. I made me a little Yahoo. We kept up for like 2 weeks and she just disappeared.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, she just gone like ether. And I still was like, man, whenever I see her, you know what I'm saying? I didn't date nobody, bro, for like 3 years till I finally moved here. And then shorty, you know what I'm saying? She was like, yo. that was like, she, you know what I'm saying? But that was long distance as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I still liked her. Then high school, I didn't date anybody in high school. So I kind of like high school. I was so focused, you know, just like writing and doing my thing. But my last year of high school, when I moved to college, I had a shorty. She was still in high school. Oh, my bad, She was still in high school. And I was in college. That's like 3 hours away. For me, that's long distance. Mm. Especially going through what I've gone through.
Yeah, 100%.
If I can't just go get out of my house, I'm about to go visit my shorty. We long distance. Yeah.
Do you feel like
Frederick is long distance.
Do you feel like your experience played into the characters?
Yeah, definitely. I said the book is 40-60. 60% real and 40% fake, fiction. Mm. So, and that's one thing that a lot of people really, really relate with. And not to spoil it too, but a lot of people, some people who are familiar with me as a person, got to, you know what I'm saying, like know stuff that they didn't know.
They didn't know.
Yeah, from the book as well. But definitely well represented though. A lot of thought, a lot of research went into the book as far as like, you know, and also, you know what I'm saying, like making sure that people were well represented, you know what I'm saying? Because
that's what I was going to ask you about. Because, I mean, you just said that it's a Nigerian and you said a Kenyan.
Mm-hmm.
Being that you're from Cameroon, I mean, I know that. And, you know, my family's from Ghana. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Nigeria is West Africa. So, I mean, it's relatively close. So there's things that you can pick up naturally about their culture. But, like, what was the process like of you figuring out exactly how to tell the story of these characters specifically? Because, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the Kenyan experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's probably a whole lot more that I can learn about Nigeria. Yeah. But, I mean, did you feel like it's just all from your experience? Or, like you said, there was some research that went into it. Like, did you talk to other Nigerians?
Yeah,
or?
Definitely. I talked to Nigerians. I talked to Kenyans.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Ghanaians, definitely. Mm-hmm. And Nigerians as well. Of course, Cameroonians. Because even in Nigeria, man, like, Igbo, Yoruba, it's like, yo. Like,
it's already a divide, you know, right there, yeah.
Right there. But, you know, definitely branching out to East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's somewhere, that's, you know, it's a territory that I'm not too familiar with. I'm from the West. So, but I do know, like, even in the East, there's tribalism. And, you know, people always get me confused with Somalian and Ethiopian. So,
I didn't want to say anything, but okay. So you don't got the Somali head though.
I can see the Ethiopian.
Yeah. So funny, in my high school job, I worked with a bunch of Ethiopians. So I learned, you know, how to get by with a language.
Mm.
So I have a lot of connects, you know, friends. So I reached out to them like, yo, talk to me about this, like tribalism. Because they are, you know what I'm saying, like, close-knit people.
Oh, yeah. You can't
get it. They got some of the baddest shorties.
Ethiopian girls talk to you, but then they got an Ethiopian dude, you know, that's like that they're waiting to get with.
Bruh.
Mom Dukes is like, nah, we're not having you.
Bruh.
Getting with no. Like, nah, for real. It's real.
Especially in Cypress Creek, they got some of the baddest, but you cannot, you know what I'm saying?
He knows.
Like, bro, like, yo, like, they will not, you know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, bro. They can be feeling you and everything right here, too, and it's just... Mm-mm. It's not going to happen for you, bro. It's not going
to
happen.
I'm saying, like, definitely wanted to make sure I represent that. You know what I'm saying? So that's extreme too. You know what I'm saying? Nigerian, Ethiopian, Kenyan? How? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it amplified the story a little bit.
Mm. Nah, that's definitely kind of crazy. And I mean, I don't know if it plays in, I don't know if it's because maybe my family's been in America for a little while. My mom definitely spent a decent amount of time growing up here. She probably came here when she was like 12.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they have a preference. They would tell me, hey, you know, I would like it if you were to marry a Ghanaian girl. Like that, I would really, you know, that'd be great. But it's almost like they're like, I can understand if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Our main concern is that you're with somebody that you love, respect, and that you have no problem with divulging or telling your secrets. And y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all have that bond. You know what I mean?
Fact.
And I was like, oh, damn, that's pretty cool that my parents, you know, that they feel that way. But I hear other people, you know, their parents are just like, nah, my folks is... They're not rocking if I decide to marry someone outside of.
My folks like, nah.
Right. And I just think it's crazy that just based on a region of where someone is from, you decide that they're not suitable for you to start a life with.
And they're not the ones going to be in the crib with you in the person.
Right.
And wedding is like one day I celebrate and then I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. So.
But I also think it's because of the way Africans look at the whole joining of two homes. You know what I mean? They don't want to join with a home that they don't know anything about.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or that they don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, if y'all took the time to maybe try to understand, then... We wouldn't have problems, but it's like they don't care to do
stuck
that
in their ways.
You know, exactly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, walking.
He's what?
You grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up here. I grew up here 100 my whole life, but I did get a chance to go back to Guyana and seeing where my parents came from.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I would ask them growing up about their experience, would you ever go back? And they'd be like, nah. Then like quick, no hesitation, no. And like from the Caribbean aspect, it's not the same. Because everyone's like, oh, as long as it's in the Caribbean, it's like Trinidad, Guyana, Jamaica. They're all always mingling, and there's always so many different flavors and cultures. But hearing and looking from y'all perspective, I can see more the tribism and why it would be that way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely argue for that and definitely, you know, definitely emphasize in the book. And, you know, when I do podcasts and stuff, like, it's dope to keep your culture, you know, your identity, Ghanaian, Guyanese, whatever, you know what I'm saying, American, African-American, white, whatever. Embrace your culture. Definitely, you know what I'm saying, you're a person, you come from somewhere. If you know it, celebrate it. But, you know, get to know somebody else, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's one thing that I mentioned in the book, too. Like, we judge people based off of, like, I can meet you, say, yo, what's your name? What's your, you know what I'm saying? You say Rose. I'm like, no, what's your last name? Because I want to judge you based off your last name, where you're from. And I chose how I do business with you. How, you know what I'm saying? Like, what opportunities I give you. And it hijacks, you know, democracy. It hijacks love. It hijacks a bunch of things. That's what I argue in the book. And, you know what I'm saying, just add a love story to it. And, yeah, man, it's been well received. So, I'm grateful.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out. So, how long in total would you say it took you? So, you said you started writing in, what,
2018? Yeah, 2018, man. It's writing, because I've been writing for, like I said, a long time. I write every day, you know, at least 20 minutes. I think if you don't write at least 30 minutes a day, you're not a real writer.
You got to flex that muscle, too. Yeah, or you forget. You'll forget. Yeah.
And it's just, like, leisurely writing, or just, like, is it, like, in relation to a certain, like...
Oh, yeah, like, anything. Okay. Any and everything.
Just get your thoughts out and I've been doing that in the past 2 weeks.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I would just look at it and, you know, it just pieced together and it forms it or something. But definitely just flexing that muscle. Because when I dropped the book, I was like, whew. And then I didn't write for 2 months. And then when I went back, like, it was my hand, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, what's good? You know, like, you jigged.
Yeah. Like, you don't know what's going on. You ain't been working out. Right,
you go
exactly.
Back, you know what I'm saying? You're going to feel it the next day. So, yeah, definitely. It took me a while because it's my first book. Mm. It was like uncharted territory for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just had a lot to learn because I self-published too. Mm. And I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just was figuring out a lot of things by myself. So I met, you know what I'm saying, like Daphne. And then, you know, my partner, Kellen, shout out to Kellen. She really just helped me a lot, man. And, you know what I'm saying, supporting me, you know, financially, emotionally, spiritually, praying for me and all that good stuff. And, man, it took a minute because I was working at the time too. So I'll be at work writing. You know what I'm saying? At the time I was doing IT, you know what I'm saying? Like, a thought hit me, bro.
Like a smart app.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, on my desk, you know what I'm saying? And like, somebody would send an email, you know what I'm saying? I would fix that problem, come back. Man, what's that doing? You know what I'm saying? So those kind of things slowed me down. And I was living with my parents at the time, too. You know how African parents are, bro. Go do this, go do that. So we just, you know what I'm saying? It just took a minute.
I just spent earlier today showing my dad how to upload a check to your mobile banking app. And boy, when I tell you, man, the hardest part was him taking the picture of the check. So I completely understand.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it, and so the story was real, you know, like I said, part of it was real. So I was like, just like, you know what I'm saying? Peeling, you know what I'm saying? Like it's called like a wound. Cause I had healed from, you know, what I went through. So like writing, it was like, you know, revisiting that. So it was hard sometimes. So I kind of had to pause, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, revisit when I was good, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, yeah, it was hard. It was hard. So it took a minute, 2 years, you know, just being a novel writer, you know, new to the game. But the next jump, yeah, I think I know what I'm doing.
I haven't read it yet, but in my research, I've seen that it's like 120 pages.
Yeah, 120 pages.
So was it like something that you had to condense or because you had extra and had too much? Or?
Yeah. I had way too much from like the book has gone through a lot of, you know, stages. Like, I think I had 12 drafts. The first draft, like just out of my head to, you know, paper. Shout out to Jason, my boy Jason. He's also a poet and a writer. His book and movie is coming out soon of One Blood Project. Definitely want to shout that out. And he just got engaged. Shout out to you, bro.
Hey.
But yeah, like when I just wrote the joint, I gave it to him. You know what I'm saying? It was like, yo, just read this for 2 weeks. And I just like chilled out. And he gave me back that joint just in blood ink. Like,
red line.
Yeah,
red
bro.
Line, you got it.
I was like, too much. I thought he was boring. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, y'all are.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to go back to the table, you know what I'm saying, and like do a lot of work. Then I hired a legit editor. If anybody's looking, you know, and I talk about this a lot, and, you know, Reed, if you're a self-published author, check out Reed, you find a lot of stuff on there. And she's based, my editor is based in Canada. And like I paid her $1,200, and she brought that book to life, man. And it was 12 chapters to like 300 pages. So that was the book. That's what I was going to publish. But being that it's also based on, and I say this all the time, being that it's also based on, you know, partly in a real story, and I wanted, really wanted that to be, when I reached out, you know, to some of the people that, you know, And not you know, like you watch a movie, you know, based on real characters, like CIS, whatever. Mm-hmm. Names have changed. Everything has changed. You would not know unless you know me personally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, a lot of people didn't feel comfortable. And so I took out like 3 chapters. A lot of stuff out. Yeah. And it was like crunch time too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
have you actually reached out to people to see if they were okay with like some of their details?
Yeah. Cause I, you know, I didn't want, you know,
I wouldn't have.
Yeah. Cause I didn't want a lawsuit. Yeah. I didn't want a lawsuit down. And you know, even if I had gotten sued or anything, none of it is, you know, when we talk about a defamation of character, you know what I'm saying?
It's not, yeah.
Yeah, none of it is a lie.
What is it, slander? Slander?
Yeah, written? You know what I'm saying? So, but I just,
yeah.
I just, you know, it was like.
No, slander is spoken. Sorry, I'm thinking to myself.
Go ahead. Yeah. So it was just like, you know, cases like that. And, you know, a lot of chapters got axed, but that's going to be added in the second edition in a different form. And so we're doing actually an animated version, a short animated series, a 5-part series. And but for the next generation, that's the whole point why I wrote it, because it just sucks, man. We in 2020, still dealing with tribalism, and just want to, you know, document something that the next generation, you know, I know that hopefully we create a world that's better for them where they don't have to deal with this, but just want to make something that the next generation
gets. That's always the goal, because you have to be able to leave something that definitely somebody behind you can pick up and be like, oh, this makes way more sense. Why didn't someone, because our parents didn't have that.
Yeah, facts.
Like me, like, because I've been like going through like undoing childhood trauma and shit like that, personally. So it's like I can see like faults that my parents just didn't have the information about available to them. It's like, huh?
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, okay.
So and that's like, yeah. That's why they want to do it in a song or blog post, like I usually do, because you know a song. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so much music getting pumped out. Is that 1 week? And it's like, all right, that was cool. You know what I'm saying? Or a blog post.
Right.
You read it, leave a comment or share it. And, it's
and
like,
then that's it.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's book, on to the next thing.
Yeah, book is like, even if it's on your shelf, you're going to read it at some point. There's people who bought it in May just not reading. So it's going to be there. Yeah, it's going to be there for a minute.
You spoke on music on your IG page. I noticed that for like the entire month of October, like you were putting something out. So is that like strategic or like you were just like, oh, let me try.
That actually was like stuff that I did the month, the year of 2019. Mm-hmm. I did something that I don't know if any artist in, you know, say my level of artistry has done. Every Friday from January to July, I dropped a new song. Not just a song, but a whole video. I called it Flex Friday, and it was a series. That was the hardest, most expensive thing I did. And I did it because just to build buzz. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, like, you have to. You have to. Because we were speaking on that consistency.
The amount of work and time that goes into creating a song and then dropping a video to go along with it. Because, I mean, realistically, if you don't have like a dedicated, like, even a producer or an engineer or a cameraman to, like, be there, and then an editor to, like, be, like, bro, like that's going kudos to you, bro. Because I'm
gonna do it. I was gonna do it all year long. Then I got to July, and I was like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, tap out.
Yeah. So that's like, I just reposted because I'm taking a break. You know, you're talking about like, you know, like just you know, detoxing, and you know, I went through some stuff too. So social media. So I just posted
take
it,
a break every now,
and then it was like, all right, I'm gonna take a break, and then get back because. Yeah, why not?
So I guess question, so seeing as how, you know, you have the music angle, you know, you make music, you know, you're also a writer, you know, you do a podcast, how do you manage to do all of those things?
That's a million-dollar question, man.
Right.
A lot of people say and you know, this is not, a lot of people say they don't know how I do it, because I just always been a person, I hate wasting time, man. I just, like, I get angry when I waste time. And it's just, you know, just teamwork and discipline. And, you know, so just planning. Like, I plan a lot. And Matthew McConaughey talks about this too. Like, I write everything down, you know what I'm saying? Like, to the T. Like, I can write down, brush your teeth. I can write down, you know what I'm saying? Like, have lunch. I can write down, take a poop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just so I can check it off and feel good.
It's a great feeling. Dog, I know exactly what you mean.
And feel good about myself at the end of the day or the end of the week. Or, you know what I'm saying? So that is like, it just helps me plan. And so a lot of things too are like, you know, streamlined. So this is, today's Friday. It's like, my week is wrapped up. So tomorrow I'm planning Sunday through Friday. You know what I'm saying? Mm. If I'm doing a podcast, which we're recording tonight and tomorrow, and I'm editing it. So, okay, I'm going to cut the clips. I'm going to do the audio. I'm going to and I put it in my calendar. I'm going to drop it this, that, and the third. You know, and I'm writing Tuesday at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. or 2 a.m. to, you know, 4 a.m. Music. I'm like, at a point in life right now, I don't know what if I want to do music at all anymore.
I feel that.
But when I was like heavy into music, it's like, you know, doing the Flex Friday thing. It's like, okay, reach out to the video guy, cut the song, you know, da da da. So it's just all planning and just making sure that no time in my life is wasted. Because, you know, I come from a, you know, a background where, you know, saying like men are considered lazy. So I just want to break that stereotype. You know what I'm saying? From where I'm from. I just want to break that stereotype. Like in Cameroon, it's the South in the East. Mm-hmm. In the English part, in the South, they always call us lazy people. So I just want to break that stereotype. And it's been a goal of mine just to be that kind of person so I can, like, you know, teach myself.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. Being as someone who, like, for example, we do the podcast as well. I do, you know, I shoot videos and things like that. Well, I mean, I more recently got into like ramping up doing that. But yeah, I can definitely say trying to make time to do all those things and then make times to like even enjoy yourself as well. Man. Like there's even been moments where I've been like enjoying myself and I've been like, damn, like, should I really be enjoying myself right now? Like, should I be like all my like job doing shit? Yeah. So like, I just be like, I waffle back and forth between like that, like, all the time, and I'm just sitting like, damn, okay, well, podcast is edited, that's together, all right, well, I got this video that's coming out, well, let me work on this for like, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of time. And I think, like you said, like having those dedicated times mm-hmm. where you sit down, like even if it's just an hour you spend time man. Working on something, you spent the time working on that, you progressed it forward. So I definitely think planning and scheduling is super major and important.
Shout out to my boy Quest too. You mentioned Quest. I like his music. I'm gonna check out the videos.
Yeah. I definitely am excited in working with him, especially because I think he's super talented. Mm-hmm. Like has some of the most bars that I've ever heard. And mm-hmm. I think the thing that I really like about him is that sometimes when I'm listening to him, I forget that I'm listening to like a gospel or like a Christian mm-hmm. like rapper. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he throws in, you know, bars here there that relate to, you know, maybe like the Bible or just mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying, living the righteous way. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's not just so in your face, like, hey, like get in your book, open Matthew, Luke chapter, you know what I'm saying? It's not like that. So I really do find it refreshing and I really do like working with him a lot because, I mean, for one, we grew up together. So that's like my man's, mm-hmm. but like, yeah, like he be just having all these bars and I just be like, yo, like, I like to think that I can come up with bars. At the beginning of every episode, I have a bar that I make up for the podcast. Yeah, but like, yo, like really, you just keep coming with them. You be doing full songs of them. So like, yeah, whenever you get a chance, definitely check him out and see what he has to talk about. But to continue on, man, how did you get the name Reflex though? That's one thing.
Yeah, man,
I know.
It's like we were saying before the podcast, it comes from soccer, but also, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you mentioned Quest. It's also, you know, from Christianity. Mm-hmm. I got converted in college, 2011, and the X is capitalized because, you know, Christ, for the X. Yeah. And then Reflex is just, I just strive every day to be a better version of myself, you know, just to be as close to the image of Christ as I can be. Because that's what we were created, you know what I'm saying, as images of God. So that's really where the name is, you know, from soccer, playing soccer as a goalie, and also just, you know, me trying to be a reflection of Christ and the X being capitalized. A lot of people mistaken it for the gun.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're talking about. I never was reading that. Y'all was like, rifle X is trying to come on the pod.
Right. Yeah, nah, it's none of that. It's Reflex. So I go by Flex. If people call me Flex, I answer, but Reflex is cool. Yeah.
How you end up playing goalie? You ain't want to be like out there with the, you know, saying scoring goals on people?
Man, when I moved here, back home, you know what I'm saying? Like my brother, because I got an older brother, mm-hmm. He's 30. He's bigger than me. Like, you know, I'm tiny. And when I moved here, you know, they got JV and back home, you play
with everybody.
You play with everybody. Yeah. You play with your grandpa, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here, it's like JV varsity. So we played the same position and he made varsity and I made JV. And like, I didn't want to play defense or any other position but striker. Mm. So I just was like, all right, I play a different position. So.
Damn, okay. Damn. Yeah, most people want to be like, I feel like you get fucked up playing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the dopey.
It's not a glamorous position unless you make it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I haven't seen too many goalies with like flair and like swag. Yeah. So, I mean, like, if you manage to pull that off,
let's see you like when the ball comes.
Yeah. Other than that, nobody worried about you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So what's your mission with the Stuck in the Middle podcast? Like,
yeah, man, Stuck in the Middle I don't know what to call it, man, but it's definitely have a lot of love for the podcast. And, you know, shout out to all the guests, the whole team, Ma, AK, Achiri, Alex, Tutu.
God damn. See, that's why I'm saying, you know, you locked in.
No, I'm not about to dab. You're people, dog.
Stuck in the middle, man. We started doing it February 2017, and it really just started, you know, like much like, you know, AMB podcast. And appreciate y'all again for having me, man. This is dope. And we just saw people, you know what I'm saying, like from our community doing extraordinary things, man. Because mm-hmm. where I'm from, you either a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or you're a disgrace to your family. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And people, you know what I'm saying? People doing crazy dope stuff. Mm-hmm. Artists, you know what I'm saying? Like entrepreneurship, you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. creatives, innovation. And we're like, yo, I can't talk to Oprah. I can't talk to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people, you know, they out there. We look to them, but you know what I'm saying?
You can go to the people that you have access to.
I'm not going to make it to the Breakfast Club, but like,
exactly, you know what I'm saying? What is your story? How can I break this barrier? You know what I'm saying? What is your experience? Give it all to me. I want it now. And that's what...
So,
yeah, man. That's where the podcast was birthed from. It started as a WhatsApp group. And we just, you know what I'm saying? Like, my background... I come from a communications background. Television background.
So Same, actually. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My brother tapped me to be the producer of the show. And at the time, he was hosting with my cousin who moved to L.A., Hans. And so when he moved, my brother was like, yo, fill in the spot. Because he's not very good, you know, communicating, writing or verbal. And so... I started hosting. The team just grew from there. And man, lives have been changed through Stuck in the Middle podcast. Mm-hmm. My life has been changed.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, people have gotten jobs. People have, you know what I'm saying, started businesses. Man, like you name it, it has happened. You know what I'm saying? Like people have won grants. Mm. Man, like people have gotten, you know, office spaces. Like, bro, you name it, it has happened.
Yeah.
Because we structure it to, you know, it's guest driven. And we ask questions much like you guys do, mm-hmm. but we just like, yo, give us everything.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying? Like, because these days, people want to charge for, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're like, we structure the questions in a way where it's like, the person's comfortable and you give the game. And so it's been a blessing, man. And we've been doing it, like I said, 3 years. We reach, you know, India, we reach, you know, the UK, we reach back home in Africa. A little over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. People watch it. It's a video podcast.
Yeah.
People listen. We average 300 downloads an episode. And then, you know, throughout the month, it goes up to like 700.
Yeah.
It's just great, man. It's just great. Stuck in the middle. And it's just, you know, you're always moving from point A to point B. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Whether it's, you know, you're working a full-time job trying to be an entrepreneur, or, you know, you got a passion here, but you really want to move it back home, mm-hmm. wherever home is. Or you just going through some stuff in life, man. You just always want to get to the next point. Yeah. So we always stuck between point A and point B. And that's really where it is. You know,
stuck in the middle. Yeah, no, I feel that. And to piggyback on what you said a few moments ago about, you know, people coming on. Like you said, it's either you're a lawyer, doctor, or something that people, mm-hmm. I guess, can be proud of, air quotes. Mm-hmm. But I think what is happening, especially with, like, you know, the African boys and girls, is that there's been so much pushback for so long, and we've seen so many people come along and not necessarily be happy mm-hmm. doing some of those jobs or doing those mm-hmm. things. And then, you know, you've even maybe attempted to take a class, or you've been like, this is not, I'm not fucking with it. I don't really like this. And so I think that it's kind of us taking back joy in doing things that you mm-hmm. enjoy doing, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then being maybe compensated for doing those things that you enjoy.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's a really big part. It's so different from, you know, our parents having to be like, okay, well, I'm in America now, I got to provide for my family. So then mm-hmm. they see their kids and they're like, well, you know, I know what a doctor makes, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's something that I can like literally see. It's something that I feel like is attainable for you. So mm-hmm. like, go do that. But like, also, you can be an artist and you can sell a painting that's mm-hmm. fucking $50,000. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just like,
and that's one painting.
A doctor doesn't make that in a couple of hours. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but if you don't see the value in that, then you'll never look at it that way. So I just think I'm really proud of this generation of, I would say, African Americans, mm-hmm. and truly emphasis on like African Americans, whether you were born in Africa and you mm-hmm. came over, or both of your parents are African and you were raised in an African household. I'm really glad to see us kind of taking that back to be like, okay, well, we're not going to stand for just the standard of going to your job and working it. Like, we're going to find ways to make our dreams come true one way or another. Facts. So kudos to everybody out there following the dream, whether you're making music, whether you're doing a podcast, whether you're an artist, whether you dance, whether you, whatever, bro, just don't stop doing what you're doing, man. I feel like, and that's the number one thing. Not everybody is going to be, like you said, not everybody's going to be Oprah. You said, not everybody's going to be
Rihanna.
The Joe Budden podcast. You say Rihanna, any of that.
Yeah,
but like, if you can reasonably touch the people that you have access to or people that are near you, then you've done a good job. You know what I mean? And you can be proud of yourself. And I want people to have that mindset moving forward. Because if you have 100 followers, you know what I'm saying, for your medium or whatever you created, that's pretty good. You know what I mean? Because how many people live in the fucking state of Maryland? And you managed to get 100 people?
Yeah.
Like, you're doing all right. You know what I'm saying? So just, you know what I'm saying, keep pushing. So
I was on an interview. My boy, he's at Syracuse. He has like he's doing his capstone program. Mm-hmm. So I met him when I was at the running camp. And he was like, yeah, I'm trying to interview you about your podcast. Because he has a capstone project. Dope idea. Mm-hmm. So basically, I don't want to give it away, but I'm give like the gist of it.
I mean, you're not gonna take it and try to submit it for a grade. I think
it's he's up for like the capstone program where he's trying to get like a grant, like money wise. But like he's basically trying to get like a platform like Instagram or Twitter where it's like an algorithm based, but it matches your algorithm will match you to the podcast. It doesn't have to be the biggest podcast, but it's a podcast that fits you and what your interests are. And I was like,
That's a pretty good concept.
So I was definitely, but like in hearing you guys speak about how everybody needs to be sharing the words or being proud of each other, or there's not just one lane to success. It's like you just have to keep making steps and keep moving forward towards it. And consistency is key, as we always say.
It is. And I also think people get stuck on the fact of like you're not getting like these accolades or anything like that, like from I guess big name sources, or you don't have an article in a magazine or shit like that. Again, I mean, if you are making, and this is something that like I even heard Jeff like say on the podcast, and me and him had like a conversation, if you're making like the people around you like proud of like the things that you're doing, then like I think that should suffice. That should reasonably be enough for you to be like, okay, like I'm doing like the right thing, or I'm doing something that's noteworthy at least. So again, man, I feel like don't get caught up on all the numbers and the glitz and glam of social media. If you're doing your thing, keep doing your thing, man. Don't stop. And that goes for even you yourself. And I feel like we don't have to tell you that, because I mean, like, you came in here and said like, man, I got a podcast that I'm gonna record tonight anyway. So you're definitely doing it, and you're on your job.
Appreciate it, man. Before we wrap up, we were talking a little bit in the pre-production, just with everything about to come down the pike in terms of this election, and in terms of like everyone out there that listens to this or doesn't listen to this, please go out there and vote. I just did with my mom. I feel like this is such an important election. And people, I feel like everyone says that every year.
It's like 3 days away.
Yeah, it's 3 days away. But it's like, I feel like so much is on the line right now.
Man,
I just wanted to, before this is over, I just wanted to drop that and be like, yo, go vote.
Yes.
Go vote.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. What about the people who say that, oh, my vote doesn't matter? Well, what would you say to those people?
I feel like that's silly.
And I actually want to hear from both of y'all. What would
you, of course. I feel like that's silly, because even if you say your vote doesn't matter, you making the choice to go and put your voice into it, it's like, my voice mattered. Like, you just got to believe in that. You got to have faith that, all right, me putting my vote in this election is going to make a change.
Yeah.
Me making the effort, because you could just sit on your ass and be like, all right, nah, it don't really matter. And then you just complain. Why are you complaining? Yeah, you didn't even want to be in it.
About it.
Yeah.
I point him, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different, you know what I'm saying, like scenarios I can point him to. But, you know, let's look at Florida, for example. And Florida is that one state that we all want to cut it away. You know what I'm saying? Like Rick Scott, Rick Scott, who is presently, you know, in the Senate, was a governor in Florida at a point. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And before he was governor, the governor before him pretty much expunged every felon's. You know what I'm saying? That's a felon. You can't vote. He was like, nah, y'all should vote, because y'all a human being.
Yeah.
Human beings, you deserve, you voting is a right. It's not a privilege. Rick Scott came in and over, you know what I'm saying, like 50,000 ex-felons, he said, nah, we're reversing that. Then he ran for Senate and he won by what? 10,000 votes.
The people that he said that can't vote.
You know
vote.
What I'm saying? Like, he said can't vote. So it's like your vote definitely counts, at the very least on a local level. But, you know what I'm saying, Joe and Trump, they're both, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? Like, go out there and, you know, make a choice, you know what I'm saying? Pray about it if you're a praying person. Make a choice and vote. Your vote definitely counts. I know, you know what I'm saying, we got electoral college. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's what everybody's go-to response is when you're like, oh, well, yeah, vote.
Yeah.
For me, it's simple as hell, bro. There's literally people who died for you to be able to vote as a person of color. Mm-hmm. And if you want to sit there and say, I'm not going to vote, You're a bastard, bro. Like, straight up. Like, for real.
Go vote. Go
like,
vote,
for real. Go vote, vote, man. Yeah, it's not. And even if you like don't believe your vote's gonna not go matter. Like, just haha. Let's play. Let's like for a joke. Let's go vote. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, for a joke, let's go vote and let's go put it in.
Let's see if
and,
it
like, and see what happens. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's just it's crazy to me like that. I be seeing people like, yeah. Well, I mean,
proudly.
It's like
I ain't gonna vote.
I ain't gonna vote. I don't like either of the options.
Kamala said this and back in.
And I'm just like, man. There's so many people that like you even got as friends that do shit that you don't fuck with, but like you be rocking with them hard as shit. You're not gonna, you know what I'm saying, step up to try to do something that's gonna be at least try to move the needle in a different direction as the way this country is heading currently.
Because the way it's heading, it's just like,
yeah, man.
Shit, I saw Wayne endorse Trump the other day. I was like, man, I can't believe my favorite rapper did that shit, bro. See, that's but I'm not surprised though.
Yeah,
all these black celebrities are coming out like, ah, Trump with the money, like it's I need my tax. Like, it's crazy.
But what's even crazier, bro? And shout out to my man Lupe Fiasco. He tweeted this earlier. He was like, bro, if Trump was always gonna enact this platinum plan for like the black community and all that shit, how come we just don't sign it right now?
Yeah.
They got the Supreme Court person in the office like real quick. If you really wanted to do something for black people and you wanted to enact change, do it right now. You're president. Sign it. Sign up while you're president.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that's not what's gonna happen, bro. He's literally doing this to get people to vote him in so he can do whatever the fuck he wants again for 4 years.
And dumb, I'm just people, like, dumb people are influenced.
Not stupid.
Yeah. Dumb people are influenced by celebrities like, oh, Wayne's there? Yeah. Kanye's there?
If you,
I just see Ice Cube. I just see 50. Yeah, Walker.
What's even crazier? Okay, so 50 and Waka, I'll exclude them. But like Kanye and Wayne, bro, both of these dudes, low-key, are kind of nuts. So it's like, when you look at like the actions of Kanye West in the past, he's admitted to being bipolar.
Yeah.
You're going to take political advice from somebody. And I'm saying, not saying there's not bipolar people out there who aren't like within their right mind, but Kanye has shown on numerous occasions that he is not a very stable person and we shouldn't really take everything that he says super serious. So why would I vote for Kanye as president? Why would I want a bipolar president? People talk about women being president because women have periods and they have mood swings, but you're going to put a bipolar person in office? You sound stupid, bro. Like for real. Like, when you really sit down and think about it, you sound like an idiot. But hopefully, like I said, hopefully everybody gets out there and votes and you do your thing. And we get this turned around and we right the wrongs that have been done by Donald. And his presidential staff.
Definitely. Hey, man, on the bright side, though, if y'all got a pen, I got a gift for y'all, man. It's only one book.
Oh! Hold on. Do I got a pen? I'm gonna find you a pen.
I wanted to put it on the record, you know, and say we still struggling, you know what I'm saying? I can't give out too many. You know,
I feel it.
But yeah, you know, definitely one person really pass it to the other, but definitely got a book. Yeah, man, it's my baby. No such thing as halfway. If anybody's out there listening to the AMB podcast, shout out to y'all for having me. Go cop the book. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on my website. If you want a signed copy, it's called No Such Thing as Halfway. It's a novel based on a long-distance couple fighting for the love through long distance against tribalism. Appreciate the love but support a young black novelist.
Mm. Actually, before we wrap up, just one last question. You think a long-distance relationship can be very successful?
Yeah, man. If you put in the work, you can be successful.
I mean it right now. That word, work.
I mean it right now.
Life is work.
Yeah.
Life is work.
Like as much work as others, but I mean, I feel it.
Yeah, speaking of, go. I'm doing a series on a book on my YouTube channel, iamreflex.com. You can go watch music videos and all that good stuff. I'm interviewing 4 long-distance couples. One of the couple is getting married in 2 weeks. So it's different. It's 4 different perspectives from diverse couples. So, you know, go make your own judgments. I think it can work, but go, you know, watch the series when it starts dropping. It's November. In November. So go subscribe to my channel.
Man, got check it planned out already for when it's...
Check out. Yeah, check
it out. I got to get on. I got to get on that wave, man.
It's a 4-part series every week of the month of November. So, yeah, go get... Yeah, I think it can work. Yeah.
Okay, respect. Yeah. I mean, like I agree with your perspective in terms of if you're willing to put the work in. And that's where I'm going to leave it at right now. That's what I'm believing for right now. But outside of that, is there anything else that you want to leave the people with before we wrap up?
Yeah, man, check out Stuck in the Middle Podcast. About to go record a solid episode right now with AK. He's in town. So, yeah, check us out, man. We back on the desk.
And Alistair, man, you want to hold the people down with your stairs to greatness for this week?
Most definitely. This week's stairs to greatness. It takes years to make a reputation and about 5 minutes to ruin it. So take care of it. Wow. You can follow me on Instagram, Dr_DoWork. And make sure you follow our podcast page, AMB Podcast. Just want to give a shout out to everybody who shows love to the podcast. Like I always say, we are the vehicle, but y'all are the wheels. We're not going nowhere without y'all. Much appreciated.
Respect. And you know me, usually don't have nothing profound to say, but then I always end up going on to say something that might be a little profound. But man, at the end of the day, for the most part, all of us is are trying to have our cake and eat it too. And it just doesn't work that way. So you got to be able, sometimes you got to be willing to compromise on having the cake and eating it too as well. Only if it's something that's worth compromising for. And with that being said, you can follow me on social media, YOUNGTAMARACK on Twitter. And then on Instagram, it's KOFIBRYCE _. Kofi Bryce. Yeah, Kofi Bryce if you're nasty. And as always, we always have music from a local artist at the end of the episode. So Reflex, man, I'd like to play some of your music at the end of this week's episode. So, I mean, is there a particular track that you wouldn't mind us playing?
Elevator. It's Elevator EL. Whatever, how do you spell Elevator? It's called Elevator by Reflex. You check it out,
please. All right, man. You heard it from the man himself. At the end of this episode, you're going to hear Elevator by Reflex. This has been another week of the AMB Podcast. Appreciate y'all for listening.
Peace. We out.
Sir.
I wrote a rhyme, still couldn't pay for the time. Think about me in my prime, but it was fine. Cause I'ma get what is mine. I will not turn to the crime. Look at me now, 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 now. And man, I don't been on my grind. I'm putting it down, 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 down. And elevating for the shine. Man, I don't fell on my face, yeah. Still I'ma lead by his grace, yeah. And I'ma see better days, yeah. So I've been giving him praise, yeah. They told me it's all just a phase, but I've been running my race. Christ lead the way like it weighs. I bet y'all give me my space, yeah.